Coming up now is a much shorter conversation than I would like with Judge Owen Rogers about his fascinating book, Lawyers in Turmoil, people in the legal profession involved in the Johannesburg conspiracy or the Jameson raid or one of its other names. Owen, a very good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John, and good afternoon also to the listeners.
Look, I mean, I always think I would have made quite a good lawyer, and I do regret that. I don't regret, but I often wonder what kind of lawyer I would have been, because I'm fascinated by the law, and so I was immediately drawn to this book and the characters in it. And you say right at the beginning that you were prompted to have a look at this by Charles von Onselen's wonderful book, The Cowboy Capitalist. I mean, what was it in that book that made you go, you know what, there are untold stories about legal figures in our history?
Well, as you probably know from reading his book, the lawyers flit across the pages here and there, and the names struck me. Some of them were quite well known, like John Vessels and John Kotzer and Jacob de Villiers. Others were less well known, although I'd seen their names in law reports, and I'd always thought of them just as rather dry lawyers. That's all I knew about them. And I was surprised to see people of that kind getting so involved in politics, in indeed something that had the at least the colonial world agog in 1895 and 1896. At first, I had in mind just to dig up a bit about them and to pull the threads together in an article in one of the legal journals. But I got more and more material, and somebody suggested to turn it into a book, so that's what I did.
Of the professions represented in the dock in this treason trial, the majority of them were lawyers.
Yes, they were certainly the most numerous group, which is something you probably picked up. Mark Twain commented on adversely when he visited the prisoners in April 1896. But yes, there were 10 lawyers in all. There were, I think, 63 men tried in Pretoria for treason. 10 of them were lawyers. I think there were about 8 or 9 engineers, a handful of doctors, obviously quite a lot of non-professional capitalists and traders and so on. But certainly the lawyers were in the thick of it, although in the event, probably only 2 of 3 of them were really close to the center of the conspiracy. The others were dragged in really late in the day to give some sort of fig leaf of respectability to what was really a revolution, but which at the last minute, when things were unraveling, they tried instead to call a reform movement.
And the research involved, I mean, just one of the points is that the judge, Leopold Grigorovsky, that his judgment is not recorded. You had to rely on contemporary accounts of the judgment, sort of journalist accounts and so on, because at that time it wasn't customary for judgments to be recorded and stored the way they are these days. So how difficult was to pull all of this together?
Well, the judgment is reported in the sense that a couple of years later it was printed as part of a set of reports of the judgments of that court in that year or over that period. But that report itself was essentially taken from one of the newspapers with a few of the judge's corrections. So what I mean, when one doesn't have a judgment like one has nowadays, almost all judgments nowadays are typed in advance. And if they are not, there's a mechanical recording made when the judge gives the extempore judgment. So there's no doubt about what the judge has said. In those days, there was, because you were relying on journalists and the judge might, of course, have made handwritten judgments. And part of the thing, one of my future projects, perhaps, is to look through some of the handwritten judgments for little patches of our legal history where we don't actually have any reported judgments, and possibly transcribe some of them. Unfortunately, the courts where we are lacking judgments, in the Free State Republic and in some portions of Transvaal's history, they're in Dutch, so that would be doubly difficult for me. But, I had to look at the way the Star reported the treason trial, the way the Standard and Diggers News did, which was a sort of more or less pro-government organization, and the way certain others had commented on the judgment. And we still don't know for certain exactly what the judge said in every respect, but I think we can work it out pretty closely.
I see that fake news was around at the time as well.
Because, definitely.
it was put about that Judge Grigorovsky was asking for a black cap to take up with him to the trial, because he came from the Free State, because the judges in the ZAR bench at the time were considered too involved. And I love the description of Mrs. Phillips with his evil hawk-like face. He seemed the very personification of cruelty and malice. Couldn't get away with saying that about a judge these days.
Well, I don't know some of the things that are being said about judges these days. Perhaps you could. But yes, that perception of Judge Gregorovsky very much comes from the Uitlander perspective. He was quite a severe judge, but actually turned out to be jurisprudentially quite a good judge. And as I suggest in the book, possibly for a revolution which led to 20 or 30 people losing their lives in the military skirmishes, perhaps a death sentence wasn't so out of keeping with the mores of that time, though in the event, I think, as Kruger intended, they were commuted.
And I mean, you rate the lawyers. Some of them you think would have made very fine advocates. You concentrate more on the advocates than the attorneys, although you acknowledge the work that the attorneys did. But in terms of ability to argue, some were rather more rhetorically fancy than others, but you generally have a fairly high opinion of the quality of the lawyers involved in the defense and prosecution of this case.
Indeed, and of those who went on to be judges, they were really very learned. They had a far greater command than I think any of the modern judges have of the old sources of our law. Of course, that's less important nowadays because most of the important common law has been crystallized in authority over the last 100 years. So we don't need to go back to the Latin or the Dutch and really understand it. But they really had a most marvelous grasp of it. And they didn't have textbooks like we have. People practicing the law in the late 1800s and the first part of the 1900s didn't have textbooks and casebooks which summarized all of this. You often had to go and look at the original Dutch writers to find it out.
I hate interrupting a judge, but I wish I had more time, Owen. It's an absolutely fascinating book, and I hope that it does well. I hope a lot of people enjoy your writing and the discovery of these characters. Judge Owen Rogers, author of Lawyers in Turmoil, The Johannesburg Conspiracy of 1895.